Welcome back to Revive Nations podcast. Revive Nations is a global ministry with one mission: to raise an army of Jesus lovers around the world. Prepare your heart to receive something fresh from the voice of God, Prophet Shaiju Matthew, and be revived, renewed, and restored.
What God will speak to you today is going to be a personal letter from Him to you. It is a personal letter. If you can turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 to verse 22. Okay, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 to verse 22. At the count of three, let's read 1, 2, 3.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people.
All right. May the Lord bless the reading of the scriptures. And the church said, amen. Amen. God brought the people of God out of Egypt. They are now delivered from Egypt. And yet, after that deliverance, you will see how the Lord had to still continue to lead them. Very important. It is a small information, a small detail that is not small. That there is an individual that has been delivered from the clutches of darkness, and even after they are delivered, they still need to be led. Very important. One thing that people don't realize when they argue about Old Testament and New Testament being separate is that the Old Testament God is not different from the New Testament God. Many people make it look like Old Testament was a disaster, and so God was like, quick, let's fix the mess by sending Jesus. And Jesus came to clean up the mess, and he said, let's create a new religion. That is not true. Please kindly do not insult my God as low intelligence. Because the Bible says the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the earth. Meaning before God could create the earth, the crucifixion had already happened. Before Old Testament was made, before Old Testament came, there was already New Testament. So it is never one was wrong and therefore let's fix it up like a fix-it glue. No, no, no. It is a perfect Bible, and God does not have split personality. Our God does not have a memory problem. He does not have amnesia. He does not say, oh, but those days it didn't work. So no, 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 no. That is why he said, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. There is a grace that is there throughout the scriptures. Everything that you see in the Old Testament, you can find it in the New Testament. You find things in the New Testament, you can find the roots of it in the Old Testament. You will see the Bible is a perfect, perfect order of how things are made to be and supposed to have been from heaven. So anytime you look at the manner of God in the Old Testament, you're also looking at the manner and the expectation of God in the New Testament. So sometimes you're like, hey, but God understands that I have expenses. God understands that I have needs. Yes, and yet he said, bring the 10% to the house of God. Although he knew that you had expenses. So the discussion that we are having right now is the wrong one. Because we are saying, God knows I have a need, so he should let me go off and do what I want and not expect this 10%. Which sounds like a good argument to many people. Because they said their needs are important. They need to pay bills. Or you say, God knows that I have needs. And God knows that this amount that would have really helped me is what I am bringing to his presence. Because for me, he is my need. Listen to me. Something happens when you bring attention to God in a certain way. Some of our givings has drawn no attention from God whatsoever. I think you missed it, so let me try that again. Some of our givings have attracted no attention from God whatsoever. But when you start giving from a place where now you're telling God, Lord, it hurts, but I'm drawing your attention. Now, oh, Remeni Antasia. Now this God who sees your giving, now he draws attention and sees that you're giving not because you had too much, but even with your lack, you have been giving. Now, he is about to prove that he is the greater king. Amen. Let me help you. This is going to change your life. I want to take time to explain this to you. Because a king never comes empty-handed. If he's a king, he's always bringing something. His presence is bringing something. His grace is bringing something. When you come to the presence of God, God is saying, do not come empty-handed, not because God wants your money. He's saying, you are a king. When you come to the presence of God, you don't come to him as a beggar. You're coming as one who knows who your father is. Ah. So, when you come to the presence of God as a king and you are saying, I honor who you are and I know who I am and therefore I cannot come empty-handed. Now a king is meeting another king. Hear me. When such a meeting happens, there is only one way to establish who is a greater king. There's only one way. The way to establish who is the greater king is no matter what you bring to him, he will always outdo what you bring to him. Some of you have never given God a chance to outdo himself. So the reason why sometimes we are not able to go up is because we forget that the principles that are there in the Bible is for a reason. Don't let your theologies now limit God's grace on your life. It doesn't matter who is teaching it. These are principles in your scripture. Don't allow fear to cause you. I want you to say, God, I'm not going to reduce my giving. I'm going to expect you to increase your giving. That's the discussion we're going to have. Lord, not me decreasing my giving. I'm going to expect, I'm going to provoke. I'm going to provoke. I'm going to provoke your grace to manifest on my life. I want you to repeat that after me. I'm going to provoke the grace of God to increase in my life. The establishment of principles are there for a reason. So let me show you more from that scripture. God is saying, I am delivering an individual. I'm delivering this individual. And I'm bringing them out. But even though they are delivered, they still need to be led. Even though they are delivered, they still need to be led by a certain grace of God. And when the scripture talks about being led, it says, God led them. God led them. Everybody say after me, God led them. A little louder. Let's repeat after me. God led them. Yet they did not see God. Yet, whom they saw was not God, whom they saw was Moses. In some cases, they did not even see Moses. They saw the 70 people that he had appointed to lead them. Yet, the Bible is saying, God led them. You may not have been seeing God face to face. But I want you to know that God has been faithfully leading you. So that means God is leading them. And then God is now telling Moses, I cannot take them the land the way that I want them to go. Please, man of God, help me there.
In verse 17, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near.
So God is saying, from the place that was binding you, from the place that was limiting you, from the place that was making you not think clearly, from the place that was a bondage, from the place that made you sad, the place where you would wake up in the morning and feel depressed. The place where you were not satisfied. God is breaking that place. God is breaking you from that chain. God is breaking you out. And now he brings them out to the place and he's saying, I have to still lead you. I have to still lead you. So just because God has brought you out of a location, don't stop being led by him. One breakthrough and people surrender. One breakthrough and now they think, okay, I've got my breakthrough. I don't need to go to church anymore. And then you watch. Slowly and slowly, the enemy now takes them more and more into the world. And the only other time they think about going back to church is when they remember that they need another breakthrough. But can I talk to you the pain in the heart of God? God is not looking for people that will just come to him for occasional breakthroughs. God is looking for a generation that can be continually led by him. There's many ways to do business. There's many ways to do business, but God is looking for a genre of people that is doing business a different way, not the world's way.
that will do business by hearing God's voice. That will do business by saying, this money is not mine. I become, you see, there are vessels of God and there are weapons of God. There is a kind of blessing that you can receive, that you are now a vessel in the house of God. People look and say, oh, he gave this contribution, she gave this contribution. You're cute. You're nice. We appreciate you. We love you. Then there is a weapon in the hands of God. When there is a grace of God on your life that shifts you from being a vessel of financial providence to a weapon of financial providence. Now we are talking about an anointing that is standing against the principalities of wealth. Allow the Lord to lead you. Allow the Lord to lead you. Child of God, allow the Lord to lead you. There is a spiritual grace that comes to people that seek the spiritual grace. Businessman, may the Lord continue to lead you in every area. May the Lord continue to lead you. You are delivered, but you must be continue to be led. You are free, but let the Lord lead you. I'm amazed. How many people don't realize how much more there is for God to lead them. So they don't allow to be led, because they don't realize how much God could have been part of their life. So they are not free to be led. They don't allow God to lead them into a deeper place. Now God is looking at them and saying, there is a location that I can take them to, the Philistines' land. But these Philistines, they are warmongering group of people. These guys love fights. You know, your children, they're playing with marbles. But these guys, they play with pocket knives.
That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near.
And the Bible is saying that is what?
Near.
That was what? That was what? That was near. And yet God is saying, don't send them through that land. Why?
For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war.
They say, God, this is God's testimony. He's saying, I know you guys. Let's say this is Egypt. And that is the promised land. They say it was a 10-day journey. From Egypt, the promised land. The only problem is in between is what? Philistines. Everybody say Philistines.
Philistines.
You say that a few times, you'll be able to speak in tongues better. Okay? From as a joke, in case you're seriously going to try. Egypt to the promised land. In between is what?
Philistine.
God is saying, don't send them there, because by the time they get into the middle, they get into what? The middle. It's going to be too hot, that they will not have the confidence needed to believe that push a little more and you will reach where? The promised land. Instead, when the battle gets hot, they would prefer going back into the slavery. Did you hear me? I need you to get this, please. Here, they have shackles. They're bound. God is saying, I'm releasing them. But in the middle of a battle, they'll be so scared that they'll go back to these guys and say, go ahead, put your shackles back. Did you hear me?
Yes.
This is God's accurate description about their response to pressures of life. That when pressures of life increases, they're not going to stand there and say, I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. They're not going to look at that and say, this is fun. Because the Philistines' kids, for them, this is fun. Battles are fun. They like little blood. Blood gets them excited. But Israelites, there's a problem. 430 years they've been what?
Slaves.
Slaves. So their identity is slave and master. Master and slave. There is a slave. I've been a slave all my life. I follow. I can't do anything on my own. I don't have the strength to stand on myself. I'm a slave. I am not powerful. I am weak. I am nobody. I am a nothing. So he's saying, when I get into a battle, when I hear a little noise, a little whip, fear gets into my heart, because all my life I've been a slave. So I'll just go back and say, go ahead, put those chains back on me, and I'll remain a slave and not fight. Which tells me there is a popular opinion that people fight, that slavery is a choice.
Lest peradventure the people change their mind.
Change their mind and choose slavery. What kind of an individual, when they encounter certain pressures, they give in and say, I choose to be a slave. I choose to keep quiet. I choose to live in calm. As long as I have peace, I'm okay being a slave. So sometimes the enemy will give you a little peace so you can remain a slave. You see, can I help somebody? Talk to me. God wants to increase you. But you are sitting and thinking, if there is a leak in the roof, what am I? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because you're too scared to commit to a new level of pressure. It's too intimidating. No. What am I going to do if I rent the house, and if the guy doesn't give me rent? These guys, they're going to mess up the paint of the house. So here, take. I'll be a slave. Give me my 9-to-5 job. Give me my. There's no risk in 9-to-5 job. 9-to-5 job, peace. Yeah, like 9 o'clock, I come. The boss is greeting me. They log me in and they log me out. It's peace. What a blessed life I have. Are you sure it is blessed? Are you sure you're blessed? Or are you in corporate slavery? Some people need to get ready for new kinds of pressure. God says, I'm about to bless you, but I need you to give me a location that I can bless you at.
Hello, I'm Tini Matthew, and welcome once again, and we're so glad that you could join us on this broadcast. Every area, as you hear the word, I believe everything is coming back to life. It shall be a resurrection for your situation. The good news is that you can be part of this through our online medium. Visit us at revivenations.tv and we will send you a link where you can sign up and you can watch our services live. If you're blessed with this ministry, take a minute to partner with us if you haven't already, and help us to reach this word to the nations. Stay hidden under the mighty hand of God. God bless you. Shalom.
Exclusive designs and arts available. Find inspiring and passionate statements to wear at our Jesus Lovers Creation store. Ever desired to have a physical piece of heaven? Now you can with some beautiful prophetic art from Shaiju Matthew. Get artwork on Jesus Lovers at His Feet, the Alabaster Jar, arise from discouragements, fearless in the storms, and more. And don't forget to pick up your own copy of his Nearness book. All these resources and more now available at your fingertips when you download the Shaiju Matthew app. Sermons, music, wallpapers, mentorship classes, and more. Find the Shaiju Matthew app now available on iOS and Android platforms. Remember to buy and tag us on your favorite social media at Jesus Lovers Creation, at Shaiju Matthew, and at Teeny SM.
RevivedNations.tv is now open to live participation to our services.
Many of us love Jesus by our words, Facebook posts, and scripture quotes. But when God wanted to show us how much He loved us, He gave up His only begotten Son. He's not looking for part-time Christians, nor a portion of surrender, or a fraction of obedience. He is waiting for us to empty ourselves. He's not asking us for some things. He is asking us for everything. And Jesus is the only person who has the right to ask us for everything, because He gave us everything.
Distance is not a barrier to God. RevivedNations.tv is now open to live participation to our services.